We have been traveling with Israel on their journey of faith as they have entered into the promised land and looking at the book of Joshua. And as we've gone through the book of Joshua, you can kind of divide it up into the three major segments. There was the entrance into the land that we saw as they crossed the Jordan River on the dry ground and came into Gilgal, and they celebrated the first Passover and they had the circumcision. And then there began the conquest of the land as they came against Jericho and then Ai and Bethel, and then again stumbled and made the covenant with the people of Gibeon. But God used that as a means of beginning the southern conquest of the land. And when the five kings came against the city of Gibeon, Gibeon came down to Joshua and said, "Hold true to your covenant." And they did. They marched all night. They got to Gibeon, and there began the conquest of the south. After the conquest of the south, they come back to Gilgal, but immediately the kings of the north start gathering together against them. And so Joshua and the children of Israel head north, and they battle the kings of the north. And that all happens in a long time, but a brief time in the Bible. And from there, I forgot that I didn't put these in. From there, we get into this division of the land. They go back to Gilgal, and where they begin to divide up the land. And so last week we began looking at chapters 13 to 21, and I said we're going to look at this over the course of 3 weeks, so when we come back from family camp, we'll look at this one more time, considering the division of the land, that now that they theoretically have it, they are supposed now to continue to take off the rest of it, and they're supposed to divide it by lot, and they're supposed to divide it as, anybody remember? Divided by lot and divided as an inheritance. Very good. Exactly right. Something that would go on perpetually down the line, okay, that it was that tribe's. But as we saw last week, Israel failed to do what to trust God and believe God according to his promise. God had promised that he would drive out the Geshurites, the Perizzites, and the rest of the termites in the land. But the children of Israel failed to do that. They became apathetic. They didn't want to climb into the mountains. They didn't want to cut down the trees. They didn't want to take out the enemy. They wanted to live in the easy place. And they wanted to be given a different lot so they didn't have to do all that stuff. But Joshua, by God's grace and through God's word, said, "No, you're strong enough. You need to go up and take it." Now, as we consider that, within that whole confine, we come into this place of this special inheritance that we're going to be looking at today. Two special inheritances. First one, my mind just went, shoot, by Caleb. And that chapters 14 to 17 are kind of like this parenthesis within 13 to 21. Do you know what I mean by a parenthesis? You've got an account going on, and then all of a sudden the author takes a step back and says, "Let's give you a little bit more detail now." And so 14 to 17 is kind of what's happening there at that point. So we have this gathering in Gilgal where they're dividing out the land, okay? And so they're starting to partition it. But in 14, what we have is this time where it's kind of a step back, and we're told now specifically more detail about Judah's allotment, okay? Because in verse 6, we're told that the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which Yahweh said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of Yahweh, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God." Caleb is going to ask Joshua a special request. And the special request is that he wants that mountain. He goes on and says, "So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, Yahweh has kept me alive, as he has said, these 45 years, ever since Yahweh spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so my strength for war is now. both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Now, this isn't just any mountain. Look what he says. Give me this mountain of which the Lord Yahweh spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the what? How the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that Yahweh will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as Yahweh has what? Has said. So Caleb's request, first of all, we get this backdrop of the request, is Caleb's faithfulness. Caleb's faithfulness when? When he went out as a spy. How many spies went out? 12. 12. Good. Okay. You're ahead of me. Yes, two good ones. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Right? We sing the song. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. The kids don't know that one. Anyways, and so, you also look at me like, huh? Anyways, and so, 10 came back. Of those 12, 10 came back and said what? God was right. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. It's everything, just like God said. Except, but, however, yet, don't you love those words that kind of add, you know, it's like when you ask, you know, you tell your kids you want them to confess their sin and ask for forgiveness. Now, I'm picking on kids, right, because you know it applies to us. And we say, I'm sorry, honey. Then what? But, I'm really sorry that I did that, honey. But, what does the but do? It just eradicates everything else that just went before it, doesn't it? It's just totally gone, okay? And so, these spies come back and it was awesome, it was great, it was a milk flowing with milk and honey. But the people there were giants. And we were like grasshoppers, word pictures. Like word pictures? They're painting a word picture. We were like nothing compared to them. We were just grasshoppers compared to these guys. Think about one of the descendants of the Anakim. It's a fellow that you all know. His name was Goliath, right? We know about his brothers too. But Goliath of Gath, how tall was he? 6 cubits and a span. So 9 foot, potentially 3. Well, he was 9 foot plus, right? How big Shaq? 7 feet, yeah? How tall is the tallest guy in the NBA right now? A little over 7? 7 plus? Okay, maybe 7.5? So Goliath was what? Another foot and a half to 2 feet taller than him? And he had muscle mass. That's exactly, we're going there next. Exactly right. And when you start to look at his javelin and you start to look at everything else this guy's carrying, this guy is huge. He's a beast. And so if he was just one of them, okay, and you were the spies, and you know, you see the everything is awesome, and you're thinking, wow, what a lovely land. But then you look at what? We got to go up against that. And so they came back and they reported it and they melted the heart of the people. Why did they do that? Fear. Go further with me here. Lack of what? Lack of faith. Lack of faith. What did God declare? I'm giving you the land. What did they say? That's exactly right. They didn't state it that way, did they? But in essence, they said, we don't trust God. We don't believe that God will do what he's declared that he will do. Is that an ouch? How often do we do that? And Caleb comes back to this in this faithfulness. Because Caleb and Joshua, the son of Nun, right? So here they are, they're talking together. They're the only two guys, the only two, who departed from Egypt, who were over the age of 20, and are walking into the promised land. Everybody else, age 20 and over, who came out of Egypt, died in the wilderness. Only two, Joshua and Caleb. Now, there were 20 and under who were what? Spared, right? So they came out and they would have seen the Red Sea part and all that kind of stuff. So there are some in the Promised Land, the older group, who remember, okay? So we want to talk about that. We're talking about a little bit in Deuteronomy. Someone was saying at the end, you know, that the ones he's talking to, they wouldn't have known, but the older group would have known. They were there the entire time, okay? And so Joshua and Caleb were faithful. And because of that faithfulness, okay, you can go back and read Numbers 18, I believe it is. Is that where it's at? I don't have it. Yeah, I think it's number 18. You can go back and look at that. That because of it, no, it's Numbers 13, 14, 15, in that area. That because of that, God made him a promise. And we read now even more detail of that promise here in the book of Joshua. Because we don't read that Moses states back in the book of Numbers, we don't read specifically that Moses stated that you can have this mountain. But clearly, Caleb had requested that specific mountain. And I'm thinking to myself, why did he want the mountain of Hebron? Why did he want Kiriath Arba? They went all through the land. They went all through the land. They saw all the land. Because they come back and they state in the midst of it, they say that the Amalekites are in the south, the Canaanites are on the coast and in the by the Jordan River, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live up in the mountains. So they had spent 40 days traveling throughout the land. So it wasn't just that one place that they went and said, oh, that one place is great. They spied out the entire land because they have to have 1.5 plus million people all coming into the land. So they went throughout it all. But he chooses one place. He chose the hardest. Kiriath Arba, Kiriath, and we'll see this in a moment. Kiriath is the Hebrew word for city. Okay, there's other words, but it means city. And Arba literally means four. Okay, but it potentially is the name of one of these Anakim. He is the father of Anak. I think maybe this is the hot place for the Anakim. There's lots of them there. And Caleb didn't say, I want the lowland, I want the valley, I want the easy place. He could have came back and said that, couldn't he? I mean, he was faithful. What do you want? You've been faithful. I want down in the Shephelah. That's kind of like the Piedmont, down the lower part of the Piedmont. You know, at the bottom of the Piedmont, it's very fertile, right? And because all the dirt and the topsoil thing is coming off of the mountains, and it's the very fertile part. He could have said, I want the base of the Shephelah. He didn't. He said, I want the mountain called Hebron, called Kiriath Arba. Yahweh's promise to him was what? It's yours. You have it. Well, we move on, and now we have the heart of their quest. He states is what? It's God's faithfulness. Now here I am, 40 years later, I'm 85 years old, and I'm what? I'm still as strong and vigorous as I was back then. God has kept me. God has been faithful. He has seen me through all these years just like he said he would do. The chesed of God. The faithfulness of God. God is true. God is faithful to those that he makes his covenant with. Caleb trusted God. And God showed himself faithful. Is God faithful? Do you really believe that? We really state that. We really show what we believe by how we act. By what steps we're willing to take moving forward. Caleb said, I want the mountain. God has been faithful to keep me over all these years. And I still got the same zeal for God I had back then. Just as God said what he was going to do 40 years ago, so he's going to do it, what? Today. I just had to wait 40 years to get my inheritance. Think about it. Caleb could be what? Pretty bitter at this point, couldn't he? I mean, he could have had it 40 years ago. 45, you know, he's in his prime, you know, things are going good. Now he's 85 years old. 40 years later, he's 85 years old. But he says, I still want it. And it just may be, I love this, and it just may be. He doesn't mean it that way. I think he's stating it. I think it's a mockery almost to all these other people. And it just may be that what? God will do what he said he'll do. Just like we're standing here, like he said he would. And so we then have the fulfillment of the request. Joshua blesses him and says, you can have it. And Caleb does what then? He goes after it. He goes after it, and he wants to take it. Look what it says, that he comes in, and he goes for it, and he's going to start conquering it. Okay, and so we go to the next phase here of Caleb's quest. It's conquering Kiriath Arba. In verse 12, it says, now therefore, give me this mountain on which Yahweh spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that cities were great and fortified. It may be that Yahweh will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as Yahweh said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this date. Because, why? He wholly followed Yahweh Elohim of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. He comes up against it. Now drop down to chapter 15. Look at verse 13. Now to Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a share among the children of Judah according to the commandment of Yahweh to Joshua, namely Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of who? Anak, which means what? They were all giants. Okay? Those are just the what? The heads. Okay? Which means that they probably had what? Descendants as well. So what would you think about most of the people living there, if not all of them, living in Hebron or Kiriath Arba? They were all giants. Could you imagine that? You're a bunch of guys my size, and you're going to play basketball against five Shaquille O'Neals. Would you expect to even get a shot off? And yet God gives me flubber. Now, I get some people laughing because some of you young ones, you don't understand what flubber is. Be honest, how many of you know what flubber is? All right, oh, a lot of hands go up. You know what flubber is, okay? That comes from an old Walt Disney movie, okay? Was it the crazy professor, the nutty professor, somebody? Anyways, absent-minded professor. Anyways, some professor. Anyways, and so he makes this rubber kind of stuff that he puts on the bottom of his shoes and he's able to start bouncing, okay? Anyways, I'm not saying God is flubber, okay? But you get it? It doesn't matter how big they are. It doesn't matter how broad they are. My God, as VeggieTales would say, is what? Bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV, ain't he? Okay? There is nothing that can stand in the path of my God. And so Caleb immediately, he says, Joshua says, it's yours. Caleb immediately says, what? To the hill. Okay? Verse 15. Then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir. Formerly the name of Debir was Kiriath Sepher. And Caleb said, he who attacks Kiriath Sepher and takes it, to him I will give Achsa, my daughter, as wife. So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Achsa, his daughter, as his wife. And then it talks a little bit more about how she asked for the well, and we'll talk a little bit about that when we get to the book of Judges after we complete that. But Caleb goes to Kiriath Arba. He destroys all the giants that are there. I mean, defies the odds. And then he says what? I'm not finished. There's still more to conquer. There's still more to conquer. Do you have any giants in your life? Do you have a Hebron, a stronghold? That it just... Everybody else says what? You can't what? You can't conquer that. That I mean, we're talking, we're like grasshoppers. And I love Facing the Giants, the movie. At the end of the movie, when, you know, clearly they have the kicker's name is David because he's going to, what, defeat the Giants. You know what I mean? So you'd see that one coming way off. But still, as they bring it all down, he says, look, nobody thought we could do this. This is exactly it. there's a stronghold there in the mountains. And it's nothing but giants living there. And 10 out of 12 were pulled. 10 out of 12. Who do you think those spies were? Do you think they were just vagabonds? What do we read about them in Numbers 13? Who were they? Leaders in the tribes. These were leaders of the tribes. These weren't just, you know, you're walking through the neighborhood and you're just pulling anybody you want. You're talking about leaders of the people. 10 out of 12, 5/6. That's about 80%, a little bit over 80.3%. So that's what, 16.66666 times 5, so that's 83%. 83% of the leaders said, we can't do this. In any church, what would have happened to that vote? It had passed. No, well, it had been shot down because 83% said no, right? We're not going to go. But Caleb and Joshua were the minority. And the minority trusted in God. The day is coming and is here. We just haven't fully felt it yet. When in our land, among Christendom, those who truly trust the Word of God will be the minority. We just don't feel it yet. It hasn't really touched us closely. Not as it has in other countries. Will we be willing to take on the giants? But back to your personal life. Do you really believe God can clear the land of the giants? Last week we saw the Israelites fail. They didn't believe God could do it. They had a bunch of apathy. Today we read about one old man. One old man. The young guys couldn't do it. They were full of apathy, lethargy, laziness, gluttonous. Didn't want to go to the task. But the old guy said what? Give me the mountain. I want that mountain that the Lord has given me. I believe by faith it is mine. And then by faith he did what? He took it. He took it. We don't read anything else about it. That's it. That's the whole story right there. I mean, it's like one verse, it's gone. But do you understand in that one little verse there's a whole war going on? Do you understand there were men who went up against giants and they fought? And they went against these fortified cities that were told about that nobody could do it? That 83% of the leaders said there's no way it could happen? But this old man led it. Led the battle. And they took the city. Again, I ask you, is there a stronghold, a Hebron, a Kiriath Arba in your life? Giants in the land that God wants to remove. And by faith, will you be like Caleb? And not be lazy, not be faithless, and take care of those giants that are there. There was a second inheritance, special inheritance was given. It was an inheritance of favor. The last with Caleb was an inheritance of faithfulness. This one's an inheritance of favor to the Levites. In chapter 13, as they're discussing the dividing of the land, down in verse 14, we read, chapter 13, verse 14 says, only to the tribe of Levi he had given no inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said to them. The Levites, we received what? No territory. They received no territory. When all the territories were divided by lot, the Levites got nothing. Why? The inheritance was their burnt offerings. The purpose of the special inheritance was to, as a reminder, that they had no special place in the land, that their inheritance from God were the burnt offerings that the people were going to offer. Now, this is something to think about. If you had land, if you had the cities, you would do what? What were most of Israel? How did sheep farmers, sheep herders, okay? They planted their own crops. They raised their own herds, right? They survived that way. What about the Levites? They were supposed to be priests. And they were supposed to survive from the offerings of the people. They weren't supposed to have to till the soil and raise the herds in order to provide for the food for their families. Their inheritance from God were the burnt offerings. But we're told as well, drop to verse 33 there in chapter 13, but the tribe of Levi, Moses had given no inheritance. Yahweh, God of Israel, Yahweh Elohim of Israel, was their inheritance. See, it wasn't just the burnt offerings that was their inheritance. But how cool is this? God himself was the inheritance of the Levites. I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. I die. I got a large life insurance policy. It'd be good for Marcia if I died. She'd hate it. She'd miss me. But she'd be a rich woman. Anyways, and so so if anything kind of interesting happens to me, you guys just got to... Anyways. But let's say Marcia and I, we die together. Okay? And so we've got a will, and we already had the kids about a year and a half ago, and then everybody gets married, so now we've got to figure all this out again. But anyways, we sat them all down one day, and we went through the will, and we explained everything to them, you know? I mean, because, you know, if we went on a trip someplace, you know, they need to know what happens. Now, so theoretically, we have funds, right, that come from the life insurance policies. But I have a what? I have a house. I've got vehicles. Got stuff in my shed, right? So, I mean, there's stuff. And they're thinking, Dad, get rid of the stuff now. Anyways, but I got all this stuff, right? And they're going to have to make the decision, what? Who gets what? Because the inheritance that I'm going to give to them literally is what? Physical. It's physical. Does it make sense? Now, I understand that I hope that I'm leaving also a legacy of an inheritance that is spiritual. Make sense? But when we use the term inheritance, many times, almost all the time, we're always talking about something that is physical, something that you can see, something that you can touch. Does it make sense? And so the first thing we read about Levite, their inheritance was what? The burnt sacrifices. That's what? It's physical. But then when it all boils down to it, we're told that the Levites didn't get any territory because God himself was their inheritance. How can God be an inheritance? How can God be something that you what? Own. You can't own God, right? He owns you. You're his creation. He's the creator. And yet God says that the Levites, the priests, would have this special relationship with him that none of the other people would have. That he himself would be their inheritance. I mentioned in the past, I don't know if it was testimony or whatever, that Andrew and Anna and I got into watching that show on History Channel. We don't have cable, but we have one of these Apple TV things where we can pull in stuff. And so the show called Alone, where they sent 10 guys out to do survival stuff, and they were all alone. And, I mean, it's amazing how fast they just drop until they were down to four. And then finally the fourth one won the 56th day or 64th day? 56th day. So it only took them 56 days. And then the guy won. And but the biggest thing at the end that they were all struggling with was being your song. I thought of it so funny because I was thinking, meditating on this, and then you guys sang the song, what? Alone, but not alone. They were all struggling with being alone. That's the name of the show, Alone. And they had a camera to remind them that they were what? Alone. And they had to chronicle their time there to remind them that they were alone. But you know, I know they didn't show everything that was chronicled. And there was a couple of the guys that I really think had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe the guy who won did. He was able to keep it together. And there were different things he stated that I just... He talked about the Creator and stuff like that. And they would put that stuff on, but they wouldn't want... There's nothing about the name of Jesus or whatever on there, you know? And they had one guy praying, but he didn't say in Jesus' name. He just said, you know, thank you, Lord, and, you know, and amen. And so they'd show that, but they didn't want to show anything with the name of Jesus in it. But I thought, you know, that's exactly it. If I'm out there and I'm all alone, I know that what? I'm not alone. Because God is what? Is my inheritance. He's with me how often? And that's what the Levites needed to know. Sadly, though, the Levites, like the rest of Israel, what? Forgot. Israel forgot. And they didn't bring their offerings anymore. Do you know what happens when the Israelites didn't bring their offerings? The Levites start to starve. And the Levites have to do what? Start planting crops and doing other things to provide. And you know what happens when that happens? They begin to take their eyes off of their ultimate inheritance and put their inheritance on the earth. And so I'm mindful of these parallels of the special inheritance. First of all, to shepherds, otherwise known as pastors. Under shepherds is really the term I like better, because we only have one head shepherd, one head pastor, and that is Jesus Christ. That's what Peter tells us. We have a chief shepherd. And if you take the word chief shepherd and translate it differently, you could put head pastor there. Okay? He's a head pastor. I'm just an under shepherd. But according to God's word, the under shepherd should be what? Taken care of by the flock. I hate preaching these kind of stuff because, I mean, it sounds self-serving. So just real quick, just to put it out there. It's the analogy that's there. That the idea that the apostles put out was that the church provided for them so that they could spend their time doing what? Praying and studying God's word. They could do what? Focus on God and what God had for the church. And when the brethren didn't do that, then the elders had to do what? Work for themselves, which did what? Distracted them from the ultimate ministry, which was Ephesians chapter 4, in order to teach and to train the body of Christ into the work of the ministry. So, I mean, I praise God for you guys. And so, it's teaching. And so you need to understand the basis of New Testament principles that come from it. But even more so, what about us as believers in general? Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I have this down in your sermon note sheet, and you can go check this out. Peter says that we as believers, as a whole, are considered priests. In fact, let's turn there. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's read that. I don't have 1 Peter 2 on there? Yeah, parallels to the special inheritance. Oh, I'm ahead of myself. Look at that. I was going to get you out of here earlier. Sorry, it's not going to happen. we have no inheritance in the land. The Lord is our portion. You got John 17, Philippians 3. Okay, let's jump on here to the numerous talents that they received. Okay, the purpose of the special inheritance, they represented the people of God. So what we read later in Joshua, and we'll come back to 1 Peter 2 in a moment. But back there in chapter 21, that when when Steve read earlier, that they were giving all these special towns, though, okay? And the idea is that these towns were scattered throughout all the territories. Why? So that they could represent the people to God. That if God wanted if the people wanted to speak to God, they had to go talk to who? The priests, okay? And so they, in a sense, acted as a mediator between man and God, but they also acted then as a mediator between God and the people. So if you wanted to offer up a sacrifice, you had to go to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was at first, and then to Jerusalem later, right? And you had to ask the priests and the Levites to do what for you? Offer up the sacrifice. Read the book of Leviticus. It's all there, you know. You brought your sacrifice and you slaughtered it, but they had to be the ones who offered it on your behalf, okay? They were the ones who were going to be standing in a place of God for you. Now, we know, though, from 1 Timothy chapter 2 that there is what? One mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus, right? And from the book of Hebrews, we understand that Jesus is, his priesthood is in the order of Melchizedek, and it supersedes the priesthood of the Levites, okay? So in the same light, though, you and I, now that we get to this point, okay, we have this special, we are, 1 Peter chapter 2, are to offer up these spiritual sacrifices. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, we read regarding us, beginning in start of verse 4, coming to Christ as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So just as the priests were supposed to represent God to the people and people to God, so we represent the people to God, if you would. We are supposed to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. Now that's praise. Individually we praise. But you know what? Part of that as well is that we represent, if you would, we intercede on behalf of people. I mean, think about it. Michelle, in your testimony, your daughter-in-law comes to you, right? And says, were you guys what? Were you praying for us on Wednesday night? Why do people come to you and ask you to pray? Can they pray? Is there only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus? They don't need you. You don't need you to pray, right? But Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 that after having done all, taking on the whole armor of God, what are we supposed to do? Pray. Pray for how? With all prayer and intercession, with all supplication and intercession for who? All the saints, right? Well, even unbelievers, though, come to us and they do what? Ask us to pray. And do you pray for the unbelievers? Do you pray that God will intercede even in their surgeries? Do you pray that God will intercede even in their financial affairs? Do you pray that God will intercede even in their addictions? And will God do that? He makes the sun to what? Shine upon the just and the unjust. He causes the rain to call upon the sinners and those who are righteous. God is a God of grace. And so though it's not intercession unto salvation, I can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. But I can lead him to the one who will. And God has given me a special privilege, and you a special privilege, as being a priest of the Most High to intercede on the behalf of other individuals. Now, I do ask you, and I do challenge you, do you intercede on behalf of other people unto salvation? Not that you can save them, but do you bring them before the Father's throne, asking for His grace to be revealed in their life, that they would know the joy of salvation as you know it, that they would understand the joy of the adoption, the joy of the inheritance that they can have in Christ Jesus. Those are our spiritual sacrifices that we offer up unto Him. Praise in the souls of men. But we also proclaim the praises of God. We represent God to the people. When you are out there and amongst the people understand who you are. You may not understand necessarily who you are, but they know who you are. And I still remember when I was driving the truck and I'd go through the warehouse and had the one guy driving a forklift. What's the good word? God loves you. That's the good word. It's always going to be the good word. Every morning was the same. What's the good word? God loves you. Jesus died for you. I mean, some semblance of the same message. The good news is always the same. The good word is always the same. I had opportunities to talk to him and others, of course. But the one day I was getting on my truck and we couldn't take the forklift into my truck because it was too low. And so I'd have to take everything off the pallets and take them in. And between the bumpers of the truck and the bumpers of the dock, there's about size 10 hole. And I've got about a size 9 foot. And one day as I was taking that box and I was backing over, my size 9 meant the size 10. And I went straight on down, you know, but, you know, not my whole body, just one leg. Went on down to the thigh, couldn't go anymore. And, you know, that was a yelch. And, you know, popped back up and I started singing, praise him, you know. And, you know, some song of praise, praise God from whom all blessings flow, or whatever. Anyways, that guy wound up getting saved a month or two later. And he'll go back to that very moment. And he'll say, that's the time when I knew that everything else you were telling me was true. You represent God to the people all the time, not just when you're in an official capacity, not just when we're going to go knock on doors and you're representing the church, and so therefore, you know, like a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon, you know, we don't have labels, but we could put a little label on you and we could call you whatever. And you go to the door and you say, I'm representing God. No, you represent God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you represent Him most when you don't realize that you are. You're a priest. You're a priest of the Most High God. People know who you are. Just like the demons knew who Jesus was. He didn't have to announce himself. They knew exactly who he was. And when the seven sons of Sceva went to cast out the demons, they said to him, they said, Jesus we know. Paul we know. But what? Who are you? Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. Who was Paul? Was he the Savior? Not at all. Who was Paul? He was just a servant of God, just like you and I are what? Servants of God. The power of Caleb, if you would. The strength of Caleb. The courage of Caleb. Going up against those giants is what we as priests need to have in this day. There's a land out there full of giants. But God wants all men to be what? Saved. They're not really giants. We just make them out to be. We just think that we're grasshoppers. I've shared with you numerous times, I don't have the gift of oration. I am not a public speaker. I'm not an extrovert. I just knew after I got saved that God was burning in my heart for something that was there. This is a mountain for me. This is a giant for me that I have to fight. I mean, there's some weeks that are easier than others, but many weeks that I get very nervous. That's why I love Charles leading music, because I don't mind leading music. I enjoy music. But if I stumble, if I mess up before I start preaching, I'm nervous, man. It's gone. I mean, I'm just in here, and I'm just, and I just, I can, and people don't believe that, but it's true. You do what God has called you to do, knowing that God will cause it to be so. It just will. There's nothing special about Bob. There's nothing special about you. And that's the first thing you got to figure it out. There's nothing special about you. There's nothing special about anybody else. The only one who has anything special about them is who? Is God, Jesus. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Caleb said, I want the mountain. I don't want the easy path. I want the mountain. There are new heights, higher ground, new heights to press toward. I don't want to have this complacency, this apathy, this lethargy that I see grabbing a hold of and sucking the life out of the church in the United States. I want us to be a group of Calebs who want to go where God has called us to go and fight the mountains. It's going to be hard. It's going to be struggles. I mean, going up a mountain against giants coming down. I mean, I can't think of anything harder than that. And if they wanted to, they'd just jump back into their what? Fortified city. And then you're going up a mountain to a fortified city with a bunch of giants in it. But it was a done deal. The Bible just puts it as a side note. And he got it. He got it. Just like God said he would. So in the end, how would you describe your ministry to God and the people around you? Are you functioning as a priest of the Most High God? Are you offering up spiritual sacrifices to God and giving praise to him? Where do you view your home, your ultimate inheritance? Are you laying up treasures in heaven or on earth? Jesus said you can't do it both ways. You either have to be physical or you have to be spiritual. Is your citizenship in heaven or is your citizenship on the earth? Ultimately, it ought to be in heaven. How committed to your ultimate inheritance are you? Are you willing to face the giants in order to get the special blessing? Caleb's inheritance, he asked for it, was Hebron. And he was committed to the process. And finally, is there a need to change the way you think? Because if you change the way you think, it'll cause you to change the way you act. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. You alone are God, and there is none else. You're sovereign over all the affairs of men, and we praise you for that. Forgive us, Lord, for our lack of faith, for our faithlessness, for our laziness, for our complacency and apathy, our lethargy. Lord, help us to find our vigor and our strength in you. And help us to be willing to go forth knowing that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against you and against your truth. I pray for these children at South Columbia and for their parents, for their siblings. Lord, that you will draw them to yourself. You desire all men to be saved. And so I trust you in that, Lord. I believe that you desire each of these individuals in this neighborhood and in this community to come to know you as their Savior and to have the joy of that inheritance. You're just lacking the laborers to go into the field. Lacking the Calebs to climb the mountains to face the giants. Lord, help us to be willing. Help us to be faithful. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In your bulletins, there's a song, I Want That Mountain, that is only in a particular hymnal that I found out, anyways. And we used to have that hymnal. There we go. We used to have that hymnal, but I have no idea where it's at now. So we don't have the music for it. And but we're going to sing it anyway. It is on YouTube numerous places, and so I stripped the audio from one of them. So we're going to have two guys playing a ukulele, one guy playing a ukulele lead us in this song. But you have it here, and the reason I picked this one is because they sang all four verses of it that we have here, okay? So if this is new to you, okay, that's cool. You get to learn it, okay? And as it becomes familiar to you, start singing it, okay? It's going to come from the back, not from the front. I'm going to start singing it from the because I know it as well. And it's not an old one. As far as I can figure out, this is from the 80s. It's really kind of weird. It's going to sound like it's one of these old you know, kind of songs and stuff like that. But it's, I think it's from the 80s. So anyways, so we'll see if this works. Saw the giant of prayerlessness upon the mountain high. He laughed so hard at my unbended knee. No longer in the wilderness I'll stay, and so I cry. I want the mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain. Where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Escrow grow, I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. Said I wouldn't go and witness for the one who set me free. I'll come from out the wilderness, I'll witness now I know. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain. Where the grapes of Escrow, where the grapes of Escrow grow, I want that mountain, I want that mountain. The mountain that my Lord has given me. One faithless giant upon the crest of Hebron's lofty height has vowed that he's the one to make me flee. I'll climb from out the wilderness and trust Jehovah's might. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain. Where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Escrow grow, I want that mountain, I want that mountain. The mountain that my Lord has given me. Let every giant of distress and unbelief and sin get ready now to vacate, for you see I've come from out the wilderness, I know I'm going to win. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain. Where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Escrow grow, I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that the Lord has lent me. I said, sounds just like our congregation. Anyways, amen. So, I want that mountain. Anybody have any comments or questions regarding the message before we transition to announcements?
I enjoyed the tie-in to the priesthood and to the New Testament. It helps to bring that to true with God. I don't understand how I can be a priest or even a high priest except for Jesus Christ.
So amen.
That's a great tie-in.
Thank you. Marcia.
I was just thinking how hard the things that Joshua and Caleb were commanded to do throughout all of the account in the Bible. And although the Lord told them frequently to have courage, do not fear and be of good courage, it never says that they were afraid and didn't want to do it. Just they did it. Just like you said on this part, it made me start thinking back through all the times that God commanded them. It wasn't easy things. It was big things.
Yeah, and for the parenthesis here as well is potentially going back to Gilgal was right after the southern conquest for them, and so you know they had just fought five kings and all that, and right on the heels of all that, Caleb's saying what? I'm ready for round two, man. I am not done. You know, there's still part of the south there that needs to be conquered, and it's my part. You know, we kind of bypassed that part, but I want it, you know. So, yeah, it was hard stuff, and they just continued to do it. And God what? And God blessed. God blessed.
Chuck? You mentioned briefly about, you know, he had every right to be bitter, some of them don't have, you know, many of them don't have a definitive time. We just ask you to be faithful and trust and wait.
And he could literally have blamed it on other people, you know, but he didn't. It came to the final of that point, at least we don't read of anyway. And it comes to that point, and he says, what? It's time. Thank you, Chuck. Okay, anybody else? Okay, next week is family camp. And again, as I stated before, I'm excited about it. So it's from Friday, beginning this Friday through the following Monday. Brian, if anybody said today they wanted to go, could they still go? Could we get numbers to Jody? Yes. So it's not closed. I mean, today's the last day. If you want to go, it's you can go. And again, there's the cost, but even if the cost is you can't afford the cost, it's free. Okay, next year we're not even going to say it about the cost. We'll just let everybody know what the cost to us is, and then people can donate. But if you don't have the funds, it's free. Just we want you to go. So we will not have services here next Sunday. So you know, we'll put a note stating that, but we're going to be meeting down in Franklin, so we'd love to have you go, okay? And you can see if you're going, you got the camp's address there, but I put the note there that at least Garmin, that Brian's Garmin, didn't recognize 13200 Highway 100, but it recognizes 13200 Rock Ridge Road, okay? So if you put in that, that'll take you right there in Franklin, okay? And then you have the numbers there. You can take my number as well, but if I'm down in the camp, again, my cell phone doesn't work, so assumably their cell phones will work, okay? So if you really have an issue, you can call them or call Brian. And then, let's see. Oh, if you know when you're about going to arriving about, it would be good to let Brian know, so he has a list of that, so that as we're distributing, that's not really what I wanted to use either, but anyways, the rooms, we kind of know when people are showing up. Okay, that we're not waiting for someone who's going to come at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, but that we just kind of continue on. If you arrive after we've already started, like dinner's at 7, and then the session's at 8, then, you know, if you're arriving between 7 and 8, you know that, just let us know that. Just come to dinner, okay? Plan, just walk in middle of the dinner, eat, okay? And then, hopefully, if we're done in time, you have your room and stuff like that. But even if you come, you can get your room, you know, Motel 6, you know, there'll be the light on waiting for you. And so, even if you don't get into the room till 9 or 10 o'clock, it doesn't really matter. It's not like we're going anyplace. We're worrying about somebody else is going to come in and take your room. You know, it's not going to happen that way. So just come in at any time you want and just plan to, when you're coming in, that you're going to jump in the middle of the activities that are there, okay? And we'll get you the room. We're asking that if every family could bring at least one set of twin sheets, if you have them, okay? Right now, there's only one family or two families that are going to be down in a dormitory area. The rest of us will be up in the motel rooms. But just in case when I get there on Friday, you know, like some of the AC units aren't working or whatever, da-da-da-da-da, you know, we want to have a plan B, okay? And so all the motel rooms, you don't have to worry about bringing bedding. They'll have the bedding for that. Bring towels and toiletries and all that kind of stuff. Please bring toiletries. Anyways, I even tell that the guys are going to Canada. Anyways, but bring the towels and the toiletries. But you don't have to bring bedding, okay? So the twin sheet is only if people have to be shifted down there for some reason. And then we figured that if everybody brought a twin sheet, then we'd have enough that we could make up and put somebody in there. Does that make sense? That way everybody's not bringing just in case. So if everybody just brought one and we just kind of bring them together, kind of like Acts 4 type thing, and we could do that. Okay, and then finally, I just put a note there because I checked the weather last night. At this juncture, tropical storm is projected to pass through that area in this area next weekend. So bring a bunch of games and stacks for indoor fellowship as well. Keep track of the weather is the idea. You know, if it's nice outside, there's going to be a lot of outside stuff going on, okay? But we're not canceling if it's going to storm, okay? That just means we're doing a lot of things inside, okay? And God's just saying, hey, no, I want you closer together and having even more intimate fellowship, okay? So we have ideas of doing Family Olympics next Sunday during the afternoon. That'll be outdoors type stuff. But again, we'll have to switch it to playing board games, you know, Family Board Game Olympics. Okay, and then finally, the business meeting down here. We have to publish this for 2 weeks in the bulletin before we have this. So instead of having a meeting next Sunday, I mentioned we may do this down at family camp, but it's going to be 2 weeks from now. We'll take a vote to authorize the officers, church officers, to be able to officially negotiate the property in the back. Mr. Snyder has agreed in principle to sell it for $60,000 for the 3 plus or minus acres, and I delineate that kind of briefly on the back what that 3 plus acres is. But basically, if you come from the corner of the driveway over here and just run along the fence line, okay, all the way along, and then it kind of angles out down toward, there's an electrical box that you can see, like, not at her trailer, Miss Deborah's trailer, but over to the left and down, that's the corner. So it kind of goes way out. So it's 3 plus or minus acres. He just wants to keep the corner lot over here. And then he'll also have the access to Annswood, okay, which the county would want as well, okay, because the county doesn't want there to be a thoroughfare coming from Annswood to McCormick, and we don't want that either. And so that would solidify that. If he has that, then that just kind of, the only thing we have to worry about, this part of the stuff we have to talk to the county about, is having an easement, because when we go to build the next building, if we do, Lord willing, then we're going to have to put in a pump station for sewage, and that's got to be pumped up to Annswood, okay? So we have to make sure that we have an easement going across that as well, so that when we go to put that sewage line in. So he knows all that as well, okay? So we've already talked about all those details. We just need to know from the church whether that's the next step. And so so be in prayer about that, and we'll take that vote in 2 weeks right after the service. As well, Wander, you can see the removal of Jessica from the official rules from voting-wise. That's, again, we just have the people who commit themselves to the assembly, and they can vote, but that means that we have to remove them from that spot when they move away and that kind of stuff. And so Jessica has moved away, so we're moved. Any other announcements that I need to, George? It's about mileage. I don't have down. Do you remember the mileage? It took Brian and I 3 hours with a stop at Chick-fil-A. It will take a little bit. Here's the key, okay? When you're going to come I-20, 285, you're going to get off 285 onto 85, and then you're going to take the Noonan exit, the one that has all the food. When you come off that exit, okay, you come to the next light. I think it's the next light. Chick-fil-A's on your left. You're going to make a right, and that's the 34 bypass, and that's going to take you through around Noonan. I'm right on that, okay? And then that's going to put you in with 34, where you make a right, and 34 is going to take you right into Franklin. And when you get into Franklin, it's going to tee into 100. You're going to make a right. Anyways, what I'm saying, it's going to take you a little bit longer, but what I'm saying to you is that it's not hard at all. It's a very simple drive, okay? And so you'll tee into 100, and you're going to be, at that point, a mile and a half from the camp. Yeah, because the Piggly Wiggly is a little bit on the left, and that's only 5 minutes, less than five minutes from the camp. 200 miles. We do. I'm hoping that the men's breakfast, after the men's breakfast in September, that we can do a work day after that. Yeah, there's actually a long list of things that still need to happen. Yeah. Thank you, George. We need to do that. Okay, Brian?
Don't forget, it is camp. So, you know, make sure you bring bug spray, bring a flashlight, bring those type of things that you would feel like you would need at camp. And, this because the conference center is, when you come in, it'll be on the right. And then when you go straight down is where a lot of the main camp buildings are. So you'll be able to come up to the top parking lot of the conference center, but some of it we might have to just drive down to get to the breakfast area and all that. You can walk the boardwalk down there, but it's a little long of a walk, and it might be a little rough for
Well, with larger families, older people probably will want to drive from the motel down to the main meeting area. Yeah. The boardwalk's pretty, but it's long.
And it's lit, so at night you'll be able to see.
Yeah, it's lit at night, but there was they'll probably clear it off a little bit, but there was branches still on it and stuff like that and twigs, and if it's raining, it'll be slick. So we just have to, you know, plan for whatever. Yeah, we always like to leave it better than we found it. So, you know, you'll see on Monday in that the booklet, and if you've been to our family camps in the past, you'll see that we encourage you to clean the area that you've been in, so that when they come in, you know, that they're pleased with us as well, that we've kept taking care of their property. Okay? Communion, yes. Next Sunday is first Sunday, so we'll have communion there. Thank you, George. You got that? You can take that stuff? Okay. And you can ask Brian, get the numbers from Brian, so that we know what we need from that perspective. Okay. Anybody else? Announcements before we? Mark. Okay. Okay, if you're interested in helping with Awana, you're going to meet around 5:30 tonight. Okay, do that. And tonight is the Fifth Sunday Fellowship. Okay, so we're from 6 to 8. We'll do that. And I'm good with singing, doing a singspiration, even if it's singing acapulco. You gonna be here? I don't know. Anyways, if we have pianists, we'll have pianists. If we have harpists, we'll have harps. I mean, whatever. But we can also we have voices. Okay, Steve. Yes. Yeah. So get one. You got a cell phone, right? I put games like this in the family camp thing. And, you know, what is this building type thing, you know? And that could be interesting. Y'all may see this again. Anyways. So there's a little note here, okay? And you need two other guys, whatever, to help. More is okay, but... This is Saturday, September 26th, okay? And then they begin serving at 7. So he says that he'd be there around 4 to start getting things together, okay? And so at 7 o'clock, then they serve breakfast to the people, the homeless down to the... Okay, so to grab a plate and have breakfast and sit with the guys. Free breakfast, there you go. Okay, but it's not free breakfast, it's for us to go down and sit together. It's to minister to the homeless that are there. Okay, so let Steve know if you're willing to do that, if you can do that. Okay, so that's 4 weeks, I think, away, September 26th. Is it? September 26th, whatever that is. Okay, so that's coming up. Anybody else? Steve, can I get you to close this?